This is the most important vote in most of our lifetimes. And for many of you, it will be your first vote. And that's why I'm very grateful that the Prime Minister has come here. And I hope that we have a very good discussion about the European Union.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you very much for that welcome. It's great to be at University Campus Suffolk. Great to be back here again. And good to be talking about this issue of Europe. Because this is a really massive decision for our country. It's a huge decision for you as young people. And frankly, it is more important than a general election. At a general election, you vote in a team of leaders, and after 5 years, if you don't like them anymore, you can vote them out again. I obviously don't like that bit, but that's the way it works. This, though, is a decision for a generation, potentially a decision for life. And it's very much about your world. It's about the world you're going to live in, about the sort of country that the United Kingdom will be. At the moment, we have a situation where you can travel and trade and live and work and retire and practice your profession anywhere in the European Union. And it's about whether we believe in that or whether we want to take a different path. And as we think about it, I think although it is a question for your generation, vital for your generation, I think we should also think back for a moment about what Europe was before the European Union came about. Think about 70 years ago, and I never forget this when I sit round that table, often at meetings that can be very frustrating with 27 other countries, I never forget the fact that 70 years ago we were butchering each other on the continent of Europe in two world wars, and now we talk with each other, we try and resolve issues, we try and get things done for the good of our country, for the good of our continent. Now, I'll start this by saying that this organisation is not perfect. There is much that is not right about the European Union, and that's what my renegotiation was all about, was to try and deal with those things that were most frustrating for British people and for Britain about the European Union. And I think we made some very important progress in that renegotiation. People have always thought, I've always thought, that Europe was too much of a political union, too much of a centralising force. And so what we've achieved is to say, yes, we are in the single market. Yes, we're there for cooperation and trade, but we're not going to be part of an ever closer political union. We're out of that part of Europe, just as we're out of the single currency. I've also felt, and I think business feels, that there has been a danger that the European Union is too much of a single currency club. The euro is an important currency, but frankly, so is the pound, our currency. And the second thing we achieved in those negotiations was to make sure that not only can we keep the pound as our currency, but also British businesses, British financial institutions, the British economy cannot be discriminated against by the eurozone. And that is really important, because if we're going to be strong in this organisation and stand up for our businesses and get a fair deal, we must make sure that the pound can exist alongside the euro in this organisation. Third thing a lot of businesses have said to me, particularly small businesses, about Europe, is that it's too bureaucratic. There's too many rules, too much bureaucracy. And so the third thing we achieved in that negotiation was to get, for the first time, targets for cutting bureaucracy, actually rolling back laws that Brussels puts in place rather than adding to them, and making sure that the European Union is properly focused on signing trade deals with the fastest growing parts of the world, with China, with India, with the markets of the future. The fourth thing I wanted to achieve was to address this problem of the scale of migration and movement of people into the United Kingdom, and also the sense that our benefit system is too open, too easy to access for people coming to the UK. And what we achieved in this negotiation is to say that in future, when people come to work in the UK, they will have to live here and work here for 4 years, paying into our system before they get the full amount of benefits out of our system. And I think that's fair. I think one of the values I believe in, and I think many people believe in, is the concept of no something for nothing. You should put in if you're going to get out. So I'm not saying we've solved all of Britain's problems with Europe, or indeed solved all Europe's problems. But I think this renegotiation, these four steps, are really important. And I think they then give us the chance to make the even bigger argument and ask the even bigger question, which everyone will have to answer on the 23rd of June, which is, do we stay in this reformed organisation or do we leave? Now, as we approach that question, and I'm looking forward to the points and the questions you'll put to me today, but I would say there are basically three very strong arguments for remaining in a reformed European Union. The first is the economic argument. I profoundly believe we'll be better off staying in this reformed European Union. We have in this country always been a trading nation. It's been essential for us that Europe's markets are open. And the single market in Europe is the largest in the world, 500 million consumers, which British business and farmers have access to. No quotas, no tariffs, no taxes, no restrictions. We can trade into that market. And about 3 million jobs, including tens of thousands here in the east of England, depend on being able to trade with Europe. Now, of course, if we were outside the EU, that trade wouldn't dry up entirely. But on what basis would it be done? And that is where the people who want to leave, I think, are not giving us any answers. And I fear that many of those jobs would be at risk. So the first argument is simply an economic argument, better off in. We'll have more trade, we'll have more jobs, we'll have more investment. Companies will want to come here to Ipswich, knowing that Britain has full, unimpeded access to the EU free trade single market. And as a result, we'll be better off. The second argument is that we will be safer inside the European Union. Now, of course, our safety as a country in a dangerous world of cross-border crime and terrorism, that depends principally on our police force, on our laws, on our intelligence services. It depends on those things. But it also does depend, and I've seen this myself as your Prime Minister over the last 6 years, on the way that we exchange information with our European partners, whether it's criminal records, whether it's passenger records, whether it is terrorist information, whether it's about people crossing borders, whether it's being part of Europol, or indeed the European arrest warrant. Just one example. When terrorists tried to bomb London in 2005, the second time, the 21st of July, one of those bombers escaped, got to the continent of Europe, but because of the European arrest warrant, we could bring them back, and they're spending 40 years in a British jail. Before the European arrest warrant, that could have taken years, possibly decades, to get that individual back. So I believe we are safer. I also believe we are stronger as a country being inside the European Union. I'm passionate about our country, about its history, about its institutions, and about its destiny. We're the fifth biggest economy in the world. We're a major player when it comes to defence and international relations. We don't do this for some sort of project of national vanity. We do it because Britain benefits by having the sea lanes of the world open, by having stability in key parts of the world, by making sure we stand up for the values of democracy and human rights and free trade and enterprise that actually benefit us here in the UK. Now, of course, we're a great country and a great power because of our brilliant armed forces and what we spend on defence. We're a great power because we have a seat at the United Nations Security Council. Our defence is absolutely linked to our membership of NATO. But I would argue our membership of the EU, that also helps us to be strong in the world and to get things done. And I've seen this these last 6 years. When we wanted to get sanctions against Iran to get them to abandon their nuclear program, that was principally done through the European Union. When it comes to standing up to Vladimir Putin in the east of our continent, yes, of course, working with America is vital, working with others is vital, but through the European Union, we were able to put those sanctions in place. So I think we are stronger in the world, getting things done, standing up for Britain, standing up for our values, keeping our people safe because we're inside this European Union. Final thing I would say before taking your questions is that it is important, yes, to be very positive about the future for Britain inside a reformed EU. And I am very positive. I think this is about how Britain can be greater still, using all of these relationships and institutions that we belong to. But I think it's also important to ask the question, what is the alternative? And I think we need to be clear about this. Because the truth is this, there's no country that has been given full access to the European single market without either signing up to free movement of people, the migration from the EU, and paying into the EU budget. So if you want full access to that vital market, you have to probably sign up to those two things. You could say, well, what about another model of having a relationship with this organization? Perhaps like Canada or Switzerland. Now, Canada is negotiating a free trade agreement with the European Union, but so far it has taken 7 years and it's not yet in place. And even when that agreement is in place, it doesn't give full access for services. It doesn't give full access for agriculture. Now, 3/4 of our economy is services. So I would be very concerned, very worried, if we were to go down that path. What happens for the 7, 8, 9 years while we wait to put these arrangements in place? What happens to jobs? What happens to confidence? What happens to people's livelihoods? What happens to businesses thinking about whether to invest here in Britain or go somewhere else? So I think the choice in this referendum, but you must decide, but I think the choice is between a greater Britain inside a reformed European Union or a great leap in the dark outside the European Union. Those are the choices, but you'll decide on the 23rd of June. For many of you, as Ben says, it may well be your first vote. I would say please exercise it. This is a very important choice for our country. Sometimes people say, well, politicians, they're all really the same. They make these promises and all the rest of it, and I don't want to vote. Well, this is a big choice for our country, a big choice for you. It really will make a difference. And I hope whatever you think, you'll put that date in your diary and you'll exercise your democratic right on the 23rd of June, because in the end, you are the sovereign people of Britain. You will decide our future in or out. Thank you.